Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're studying the book of Acts. This is Greek reading and research for some of you that enjoy that, but we do enough English in there to make it painless anyway. Shall we and should we obey God rather than man? That's the title of this message, Shall We Obey God or Man? And we go back to the book of Acts, fourth chapter. I'm going to go ahead and read it from verse number 1. Up until verse number 19, because we need to get the whole context of this and find out what in the world's going on here. And while they, Peter and John, were talking to the people, the high priest and the military commander of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and being vexed and indignant, and through because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in the case of Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands upon them and arrested them. And they put them in prison until the following day, and for it is already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, adhered to and trusted in and relied on Jesus as the Christ, and their number grew and became about 5,000 people. Then on the following day, the magistrates and the rulers and the scribes were assembled in Jerusalem, including Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all the others who belonged to the high priest relationship and family. And they set the men in the middle of them and repeatedly demanded by what sort of power or by what kind of authority did such people as they do this healing? How did you do that? Then Peter, because he was filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, said unto them, rulers of the people and members of the Sanhedrin, if we're being put on trial here this day and examined concerning a good deed done to benefit a feeble and helpless cripple, by what means this man has been restored to health, let it be known and understood by you all, and by the whole house of Israel, that in the name and through the power and the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, in him and by him and by the means of him, this man is standing here before you well and sound in body. And soul also, by the way. And this Jesus is a stone which was despised and rejected by you. Now, Peter says here that Jesus is the rock that the church is built upon, not him. The builders by which has become the head, the external angle of the corner of the cornerstone. And there is salvation in and through no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by and in which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness and utter unfettered eloquence of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and untrained and uneducated in the schools of the common men, with no advantages, they marveled and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And since they saw the man who had been cured standing there beside them, they could not contradict or say anything against in opposition to what they had done. But having ordered the prisoners to go aside out of the council chamber, they conferred and debated among themselves, saying, what are we to do with these men? For that an extraordinary miracle has been performed through and by them is plain to all the residents of Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. So what are we going to do? We do not want to believe in Jesus. We do not want to adhere to him at all. We want to deny him. And how in the world, now we are the religious rulers of the people. These people are. And yet, these are the ones that should have pointed them to Christ. Instead of that, they're pointing them away from Christ. And that is what so many religions in the world do today. Pointing people away from Christ. Away from the saving, the salvation of God. But in order that it may not spread among the people and the nation. Now these people want to keep people from being saved. These religious people want to keep other people lost, like them. Jesus told them one time, He said, you go and you pass sea and land to make proselytes and make them two times the sons of hell that you are. Let us warn and forbid them with a stern threat to not speak anymore in the name or about this person. So they summoned them and apparently instructed them not to converse in any way or to teach at all in or about the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven and earth why we may be saved except by that name, by His authority. Verse number 19 now, and we're going to read it in the Koine Greek, and then we're going to translate it. Hode Petros Kai Oanes, Apo Crithentes, Epon Pros Autos, E Dikaion, Esten, Enopion, Ton, or Tu, Theu, Himen, Akuain, Malan, E Tu, Theu, Crinate. But Peter and John, having caught up in speech with them, having answered them or caught up in speech with them, they said to them, to them all, would it be just in the presence of God, the God of you, to hear, to obey rather, or God, you judge? Is it better for us to obey you or God? Is it better for us to obey you or God? Shall we obey God or shall we obey you, the religious rule of the land? All the way from about 325 A.D., all the way up to the Reformation, way over here to the Reformation, all of those years, the Catholic Church and Islam. Of course, Islam didn't come into great power until 625, 630 A.D. They didn't get into the power to go out and conquer other countries in the name of Islam, to murder people. The Catholic Church had already been doing that. But for all those years, between 50 and 100 million people died as John and Peter were for preaching the Word of God. Peter was crucified upside down, history tells us. John was persecuted. He was tortured. He died an old man in Ephesus as pastor of that church, but he was persecuted all of his life. Between 50 and 100 million people were killed by Catholicism during the Dark Ages. And Catholicism says that they're changing. Catholicism is always in flux anyway, but I want to ask you something, and I want you to think about one thing. The Catholic Church teaches that the Pope is infallible. And the Catholic Church teaches that the Church is infallible. Now, if a church was to change, how could you change an infallible church? How can an infallible pope that's supposed to be... Actually, the popes only go back to about 600 A.D. Unless you count Constantine. Constantine the Great, ruler Constantine, as the pope. They said that he was the apostle of God, so you might count him as a pope, maybe. But there were no official popes way up here until the Catholic Church, the Pope, said that he was the Pope. The one that was to become Pope said that he was Pope. Let's go on a little further. U denamatha gar himes ha edamen kai akuosamen me lalen. For it is not able, for we are not able, which things we saw and we heard not to speak. Jesus told the Jews one time, the representatives of the Sanhedrin, and they told him to tell his students, his disciples, to shut up because they were saying, praise Jehovah, hallelujah, to the highest. They, in other words, they were calling him Jehovah. They said, tell them to stop. And Jesus said, if I told them to stop, the very rocks would cry out. The very rocks would cry out. Verse number 21 now. Hoi de prosa te la sa minoe. Ate luson. Autos. Maidane. Euriscontes. To. Pos. Kalouson te. Autos dia. Ton laon. Hoti pontes edoxoson, ton theon epito gegonate. And moreover, the ones having added upon them threatenings, dangerous threatenings, they released them. They from loosed them, they released them. And no one finding how they might punish them, because all of them kept on glorifying God upon the thing they were having done. Let's read this back again from the Amplified up to verse number 21. But Peter and John replied to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you, obey you, or to rather obey God. Shall we obey man or shall we obey God? You must decide. You must judge this. But we ourselves cannot help telling what we have seen and heard. And then when the rulers and the council members had further threatening them, they let them go, not seeing how that they could secure or a conviction against them, because the people, where everybody was praising and glorifying God for what had occurred. Let's go to one more verse now. Verse number 22. Eton gar ein pleonon, tesar kanto, ho anthropos et hon gegane to semion tuto tes aisios. For the man kept on being over 40 years old. And this man had been a cripple from his mother's womb. And he was over 40 years old. Upon whom had become this great sign and miracle and cure. The evidence taken. The evidence taken was against them. These men had cured a man that had been crippled for more than 40 years. The last one, verse number 22. For the man whom this sign and miracle of healing had been performed was more than 40 years old. Now, we live in a hard time, people. Who would ever think that you couldn't go to church? Who would ever think that a government, that the United States of America, could tell you that you couldn't go to church? You couldn't assemble. The state of Nevada, right now, it says that you can't have any type of public meetings at all. We are in a tremendous pandemic. There were several preachers across the nation that said that they were going to defy the law because they were going to go to church. Now, we live in an age where you can go right into your computer and you can watch this 100 times if you want to, this message. You can go on discovertheword.com or discovertheword.com, and you can listen to more than 4,500 messages without ever leaving your home and be like you're right there. Discovertheword.com has more than 3,000 videos, almost 3,100, real close, that you can watch just like you're there. Now, we invited people to come here always and be part of Discover the Word Missionary Baptist Church to take part in our services. Right now, we cannot do that. First of all, it's illegal. The second idea, it is absolute common sense. Don't have any more contact with anybody, anywhere, than you have to have. Be very careful and put down a shopping list and go and shop as quickly and get as much as you can store without overbuying. Who knows how long this pandemic is going to last? These men that had stood up across America and said that they were going to have church in spite of what the government said, they shut them down. The brethren were very naive in what they said. Yes, we can believe. We can go to church through our computers today. We can listen on the radio. It's not like being there. But many of my faithful church members have never seen my face in person. All you know is what you see here of me. We have church members, we have students, we have very faithful givers from British Columbia to New Jersey to wherever across this country, Australia, New Zealand, Tanzania, Philippines, China, India, all over the world. We love you. I do my best to preach the Word of God in a time of great need, and I try to put out one message a day, nearly. I try to at least add one message at least a day. So you have new material to hear on discovertheword.com. If I don't do that, you'll be emailing me or calling me on the telephone and want to know what happened to me. My wife is gravely ill, and I haven't done as much lately. Sometimes I do 7 to 10 messages a week because of Marilyn's health. It has slowed me down a little bit because I have to take a lot of care with her because she can't go to the doctor. I am her doctor. I am her nurse. I am her full-time caretaker. I covet your prayers in this. And all of you out there, I love you wherever you are. You that make faithful donations, thank you so much. We need your help. You that haven't yet, please do so. I'm trying to do everything I can to keep you churched up. Even though you will not be able to go to church, you still can go to church. You can still be part of our group and many other groups. My prayers are with each and every one of you. Gang Zhang, Nancy, Donald, Richard, Mark, all of you guys, and that's not even half. Not even the tip of the iceberg. Christine, Sharon, Art, and Ray. So many of you out there. Brett. I could read for an hour all the list of your names, because there are hundreds. Some of you call me nearly every day to check on us. Thank you. you email me. I can't answer all the emails. This takes too much time now. But thank you. I try to do the best I can. For trying to feed you in a time that you can't go anyplace else. This is the safest way to go to church right now. And yes, we need to do as much as we can to keep from spreading this coronavirus. In World War I, because of the massive travel, it killed 20% of the world's population. We don't want that to happen again. We've learned from since then. We learned what to do. And please do it. I know a lot of you are used to running around and visiting in different people's homes. Please don't do that. You may save their life or save your life. Even your children and grandchildren. It's an unusual time we live in. Yes, we must obey the laws of the land now. And yes, it's the best thing for you to do. And thank God that for the internet. How long would it take you to listen to 4,500 messages on sermon audio on discovertheword.com alone? How long would it take you to listen to 4,500 messages? Now, not all the messages are me. They're some of my teachers and friends and students that I went to school with. We've got over 3,000 videos. How long would it take you to watch 3,000 videos? Jay over there in Arizona, I don't know how many you're listening to. You listen to 3 or 4 a week. Some people listen to 40 messages a week. 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's something. I've got several students scattered all over the world that do that. God bless you for your faithfulness in studying God's Word. Yes, this day, April the 5th, 2020, we are still alive here and preaching for you and to you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your help. We need it. Thank you for your prayers. I need them very much. And Father, we send out this message to your people. In a trying time, we know this is just previews of coming attractions in this world in these last days. Father, strengthen your people. I pray for each and every one out there. I pray for the brothers that so faithfully, Callan brothers that send every week, faithfully, make donations. All of those that make small and large donations, Father, I pray that you bless them and please keep them safe. Help them be safe from every avenue. And I pray for their souls and their in a fearful time in their lives. Father, thank you for the chance to minister to these people whom I love so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Use your word for your glory and honor. Amen.